You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message in two shakes.
Hey, so this is Alberto, and I kind of just want to know, like, where did the handshake come from, and why is the handshake kind of a universal thing all over the world? Thanks.
Hello?
What's shaking, Alberto? It's Flora from ELT.
Hey.
Are you a handshaker? Like, are you a putter there type of guy?
I would say I'm definitely not a handshaker. I assess the situation, eye contact and everything before to see if it's, like, needed, if that other person needs it.
What do you mean if the other person needs it?
I don't know. The way I see, like, handshakes is that it's some form of validation to the other person. And so if they need that validation, then I'll likely give it to them.
Do you get no pleasure from a handshake yourself?
I don't think I do, actually.
Really?
Like, yeah, I don't find any satisfaction in it. And yeah, I mean, I've even been called out for not providing a handshake.
When were you called out?
So I guess, like, where I'm from, from Chicago, how I grew up, we don't necessarily call it a handshake. We call it, like, shake someone up, like, go shake them up. And it doesn't look like a typical grasping of hands and waving up and down. It's like, you know, a combination of grasping your hand, then, like, pulling back slowly and maybe, like, pounding fists. I remember on numerous occasions, just, like, me showing up at a friend's house, and I would just, like, go to the room and, like, just do, like, a general, like, hello to everybody.
Like a wave?
Yeah.
No contact.
Yeah, and of course, one person would be like, what, dude, you're not going to shake me up? And I'd be like, oh, okay, my bad. And then, you know, you go shake them up.
Is it that it's kind of choreographed? Like, it's like a symbolic gesture, but not one that feels natural?
You know what, I think, honestly, that could be it. It seems really, like, performative. I'd rather just someone be just really straight up with me and tell me what they're trying to convey with a handshake. Like, validate my presence. And then I'd be like, oh, hello.
You want, instead of someone extending their hand to you, you want them to say to you verbally, please validate my presence.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot more straightforward. I mean, that's, like, the most common example. But, like, there's other examples where, like, someone wants to shake your hand because it's a power move, or they're trying to, like, assert some kind of dominance.
Yeah.
And I'd rather someone come and tell me, hey, I am going to be the leader here. I'm the boss right now. Like, you're going to listen to me. And then, like, it would help me interpret what their handshake meant.
Oh, my God. I love this so much because you're making me feel like the handshake has a lot of hidden meaning.
I think it definitely does. There's a lot that people can try to say with a handshake. You just, like, see them in pictures, like on the news, in documentaries, anything that's, like, documenting a political figure, you will see them shaking their hand with another political figure staring into a camera.
It's true. That is the like boilerplate image for any political headline.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you want to know?
I think I just want to understand, how did something so weird that has so many different nuances, and it's not the only option, right? Like, there's kiss on the cheek. Like, how did that become a thing with, like, politicians? Why did that come to be?
Yeah, how did the handshake become a thing?
How did it start, and why did it turn to be this symbol of politics?
Okay, so we found just the person to lend a helping hand. Her name is Ella Al-Shamahi.
Hi, Alberto.
Hey, Ella.
She's a paleoanthropologist, and like you, she is hand over heels obsessed with the handshake.
I respect your passion, brother.
Nice.
Ella wrote a whole book about hand-to-hand contact.
So it's called The Handshake, A Gripping History. You see what we did there?
She's got a firm grasp on the subject, and she says it's partly because she brings an outsider's point of view.
I'm a kind of reverse anthropologist in the traditional sense. So, you know, traditionally we have Westerners turn up in lovely exotic foreign lands and then commenting on other cultures. I was brought up in an incredibly ultra-conservative Muslim community in Birmingham, England, and then became secular kind of well into my 20s. And as a result, Western society is, for me, the anthropological subject, if that makes sense. So, you know, for me, the handshake is interesting because for 25 years of my life, I refused to shake men's hands. So something that was very normal practice was never normal for me.
In your pre-handshaking life, did you have ways of avoiding a handshake? Because handshakes are, you know, so expected.
Yeah, let me tell you, Flora, I had that stuff down. And I tried, oh my God, I tried so many things. I tried wearing gloves so that I was kind of shaking hands, but I wasn't touching skin. And then I really like the hand on the heart. I still like the hand on the heart, actually. I definitely have reverted to that during Zoom calls because I think it's just very warm and lovely.
Until Ella just said that, I've never thought about how often I put my hand on my heart. And it's like, I didn't even realize I was doing an alternative handshake.
So you wanted to know where the handshake originates.
Yeah.
It turns out it's tricky to get a firm grasp on that because humans aren't the only shakers.
Chimpanzees, lo and behold, shake hands.
Oh, wow.
It's actually more like a finger shake. So they kind of shake their fingers. Sometimes they shake their feet as well, which is very cute and which I really do think we should practice more of.
Alberto, would you be more into foot shaking?
Context would probably help, but...
Hand to toe with your new boss?
Probably not, but it's not something that I would completely throw off the table.
So handshakes aren't just for humans, but humans have taken them to the next level. Elaborate handshake variations pop up and down and up and down all over the world.
There's many parts of the world, like the Middle East, for example, where the handshake is accompanied with a hug, or it's accompanied with a kiss, or it's accompanied with a hand on the heart. There are some parts of the world, thinking of like maybe Oman or Socotra, where you go in for a handshake, but you also kind of touch each other's noses as well at the same time. In Liberia, there's a finger snap handshake. So you kind of shake hands and then you do this really cool finger snap at the end. So really, the British or the American handshake is pretty basic, I think is the best way of putting it.
That makes a lot of sense. It's probably why I feel like it lacks emotion. Like it's the most stripped down version of it that you could possibly do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is really vanilla.
Yeah.
Vanilla shake. Okay, so you also wanted to know about power grabs. When people started using handshakes as a powerful political symbol.
Yeah.
And it turns out that has a long history.
One of our first documented handshakes ever is actually a picture of one. And it was in ancient Iraq.
Okay.
It's a relief carved into a throne. We have a picture of it and we're going to send it to you and put it on Instagram at ELT Show.
All right, let's check here. Oh, wow. When was this from?
9th century BC.
That's insane. It has a lot of detail. You can like really clearly make out what each of the four people are holding in their hand. Like it looks like a sword is on one person's side and a bow in the other.
They have really awesome beards.
Yeah, the two people in front definitely have really shapely beards. I'm quite envious. It looks like, yeah, they're about to initiate what I would perceive to be like the traditional vanilla handshake.
The classic shake.
Yeah.
So it's actually a royal summit. These are two kings shaking hands. And the king who had this relief on his throne was the king of Assyria. And the guy he's shaking hands with is the king of Babylon. And scholars have called this relief a, quote, public display of friendship.
But I think that the really big take home is that it's actually on the throne itself. So the king wanted everybody to know that this handshake took place.
Yeah. I'm not an anthropologist or a reverse anthropologist, but I feel like this meant something to somebody.
Yeah. And the meaning holds up today.
It feels a lot like those PR handshakes in the Oval Office or in the White House gardens. It's funny how that symbolism has just followed the handshake around.
It's like the staged political relief op goes back to the 9th century BC.
That's crazy.
So the handshake's been around a long time. but it hasn't always been the go-to greeting.
Mm.
Let's take our hand lens to America. In this country's early days, meet and greet options were more varied. And they weren't just signaling how do you do, but also how do you fall in the social pecking order?
There are obviously the curtsies. There are the hat tips and the bows. So really hierarchical greetings. You know, they're not like the meeting of two equals.
Now compare that with the handshake.
There's so much symmetry in it. You know, you're mirroring the opposite person. And so that is egalitarian by its nature. It's not, you know, about you curtsying and the other person like giving you a little smile, like, thank you, myself, you know?
Yeah, it's like saying you're equal.
Right. And baby America is all about saying you're equal if you're a white man, which gave the handshake a leg up on the bow or the curtsy.
As democracy is on the rise, you start seeing these greetings, which are based around your position in society, you see them starting to fall by the wayside.
Mm.
Who curtsies these days? You know, you might curtsy to the queen and that's about it, right? And certainly in the US, there was a real kind of shunning of a lot of what was seen as courtly gestures.
Interesting.
And the Quakers had a big hand in this.
You know, today we see the Quakers as being kind of all about peace and love. But back then, they were seen as really radical and actually quite rude because they just refused. They absolutely point blank refused to do these gestures, which were hierarchical, because they were like, we're all created equal. I'm refusing to do this.
Thomas Jefferson also embraced the shake as an element of his regular hello. It was part of a bigger push by him to wave goodbye to the English monarchy's etiquette traditions.
That makes sense.
And with time, this presidential flesh pressing just got more impressive.
There's this period where it's quite clear that the US presidents have really kind of gone, all right, these handshakes are really, really important. And we've kind of almost got to turn them into like a production line situation.
Teddy Roosevelt holds the Guinness World Record for most handshakes by a head of state. Would you like to guess how many hands he shook in one day?
In one day? Let's say like 30.
It's the Guinness World Record, Alberto.
110.
It's the Guinness World Record.
I'm like so on the opposite end of handshakes that I don't think I could contextualize like what that would even mean to shake over 100 people's hands.
8,513 hands.
How?
One of his biographers described his technique like this. He seizes on the fingers of every guest and wrings them with surprising power. The grip is accompanied by a discreet but irresistible sideways pull, for the president, when he lets go, wishes to have his guest already well out of the way.
It was like a handshake and kind of be gone with you kind of thing. So he would kind of go in for a handshake. But as he was doing the handshake, he was basically moving you along so that he could quickly move his hand to the next person.
So Teddy's record still stands, along with this presidential proclivity for palm pumping.
The political handshake to the masses is seen as quite important. So, you know, if you're on the campaign trail, you have to get down and dirty with the people and to shake their hands. You're basically saying, you know, I see you.
Yeah, like, I don't hold any power over you. I'm willing to shake your hand.
Yes, exactly. So that is the handshake in its purest form, a gesture of equality. But as you say, that's not how every handshake plays out.
Hmm.
After the break, a handshake so bad, it'll leave you shook.
The minute I saw the outcome of that, I was like, no, actually, that's worse. this is awful. I need to switch this off.
Let's talk bad handshakes, Alberto.
Okay.
Have you ever misread a shake, like had a shake mistake?
Yeah, that's definitely happened. I was working in Spain, and it was like my first week, and we were meeting some new business partners. They came into the office, and yeah, classic, extended my hand out to shake their hand. They like awkwardly dodged and went around it and then met their cheek with mine.
I feel like this is a scenario where I would be locking lips with my new colleague and it would be embarrassing.
Yeah. I feel like I slammed faces with that woman and I feel, I still think about it.
That's nothing compared to this next handshake. This shake will put that shake mistake to shame.
Okay.
This may be the absolute worst handshake in the history of all time.
I'm ready.
We sent you a video of this shameful, shameful shakedown.
Okay, let me take a look.
Okay, so it's 2017. President at the time, Trump, is in France, and he's greeting the French president, Emmanuel Macron. And you'll notice Trump comes in hot with a hand pat and a little tug.
Yeah.
Okay, give me the blow-by-blow from here.
Yeah, so I see President Trump not letting go and then shaking his wife's hand, all while still maintaining the original handshake.
Yeah, like Trump is kissing Macron's wife and they're still clasping.
Yeah.
It's 29 seconds of handshaking.
It's, yeah, like 28 seconds too long.
Is this your personal nightmare?
I would hate to be holding someone's hand for 29 seconds.
I mean, I know this looks totally normal on the surface, just like two old friends saying hi, but do you think possibly there's any subtext to this one?
I would definitely say so. It definitely falls in the realm of like the power move handshake. It like establishes control. Like you won't let go until I say it's okay to let go.
Exactly. Yeah. It's basically like a game of tug of war between the two of them. It's like, it's about showing that you are stronger than the other person. You are more dominant than the other person.
It's really hard to watch.
It really is. The funniest thing about this, though, is I remember when Trump first started doing these crazy handshakes with world leaders, which were, I mean, such clear expressions of machoism. I remember looking at them and thinking, oh, my God, that's awful. I really hope somebody meets him at his game. And then Emmanuel Macron clearly heard my prayers and started doing this. And the minute I saw the outcome of that, I was like, no, actually, that's worse. this is awful. I need to switch this off.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, if a handshake is kind of really supposed to mean we're equal, but like people are using it to say, I'm the boss, I have power over you, it's not really that equal.
Exactly. It's like they completely misunderstood what the handshake symbolizes.
Are you feeling the need to wipe that off? Sanitize your soul?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think I have something that might help.
Okay.
I want to cue up one of the best handshakes in history.
All right.
And here's the background. It's 1987. We're in the midst of the AIDS crisis. And Princess Diana makes it a priority to advocate for patients with AIDS.
And this is at a moment when, remember, we were living at a time where if somebody had HIV and people knew it, they would get off the bus. You know, they would get out of the building because they assumed that they would catch it.
So the UK opens its very first hospital ward for treating people with HIV. And Princess Diana attends the opening.
The Broderick Ward of the Middlesex Hospital is the only specially designed AIDS ward in Britain. Today, the hospital reckoned that the princess is...
She turns up to this ward. You know, there's a whole pile of press behind her. The patients have all disappeared because they do not want to come out in front of the cameras because they know how the press has been treating them. And so it's incredible because actually this one guy, he basically was dying and he was like, okay, I'll go out there and I'll shake her hand.
Only this patient agreed to a still photograph with the princess, and then only with his back to the camera.
Later, we learn this man's name was Ivan Cohen, and in the picture, Diana is shaking his hand.
Importantly, she was not wearing gloves. She kind of made it very clear that she thought it was okay to touch people's hands who had HIV and that we shouldn't have the stigma.
Another big step was taken in the campaign against AIDS, and the princess had helped dispel some superstitions about the disease. Anthony Chaffee, News at 2.
The idea that a member of the royal family, arguably, you know, one of the most beloved, if not the most beloved member of the royal family, shaking somebody who's got HIV's hand was just, I mean, it was like a revolution in people's heads.
Yeah, it's like it can change the way that people think just by seeing it.
It's a pretty powerful form of validation.
It really is.
Where are you now in your feelings on the shake?
I think that even though I am generally suspect of handshakes, you know, maybe I can establish like what the handshake means. Like I can be the one who implies something powerful to someone else through a handshake.
You can take hold of the handshake.
Right. I can use it as a tool for good.
It's funny because I don't think of myself as a big handshake person either, but this conversation has made me really want to shake your hand.
I think I could say the same. I feel like if I were to shake your hand in person, I would trust that the meaning and intention would be the same. It would be equal.
I would feel the same way. And I promise to let go at the right time.
Perfect.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Adley Robinson, Stephanie Werner, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our editors are Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. Shake what your mama gave you. Goodbye.
Have you ever tried the forearm grab?
I've never tried that.
How about the hand pat on top of the shake?
Ooh, that sounds like condescending.
Scratch and shake.
Scratch and shake.
Itch and switch.
These are all new ones for me.
Sticky fingers ring sling. You ever heard of that one?
Sticky finger? No. These are what?
Where you steal their jewelry. Like, you know, like you're in a cartoon.
Are these like actual things that people do?
Have you ever tried going in with the left just for fun?
I don't, but I probably will now.